from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've...
Yeah,
that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. John Freaky is in today. John, it is always good to have you on the show. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. John, I know you are excited about the college football season, and I want to start here today wraps up the last day of SEC Media Days. Sam Pittman, Arkansas, A&M's Mike Elko, new head coach there, Hugh Freeze, Auburn and Kentucky's Mark Stoops. And as we were talking about this earlier today, it's kind of interesting, right? I mean, the SEC Media Days, they're front and center. Everybody's wondering, you know, what's going to be said, what coaches are truly going to be asked those questions that they need to address, like Sam Pittman, to your point about, hey, it's win or go home for him. I do think Hugh Freeze is going to turn things around at Auburn. I like the hiring of Mike Elko, but nobody's been able to turn A&M around. And so I just say all of that to say, what has stood out to you this week? Because now this is the end of it. We're going to get to camps here, you know, in a few weeks. And then, John, we're going to be talking about week zero. I think it's August 24th, and then it is on. What has stood out to you this week?
Yeah, by the way, 37 days. Not that I'm keeping count to college football. Well, to me, it's all, you know, I think Kirby Smart handled it, you know, very well in terms of everything that's going on. I think he said the right things about what's going on at Georgia, what he can actually do. The fact that it's still going on and it's still a story is got to be, you know, somewhat of a concern. And I know that we'll talk to Drew Butler a little bit later in the show. I think the thing that stood out to me more than anything else is Texas fatigue. I mean, it's all I'm hearing from people is about how sick they are of hearing about Texas.
Hook 'em.
You know, Texas is in, horns down. So Texas is in Austin,
careful,
right?
Careful.
So Texas, okay, right? But they're in Dallas. You're going, wait a second. They're not, no. Dallas is a UT town, okay? It's a UT.
Totally.
Dallas Morning News.
Yeah,
totally UT town. You know this. So when the Big Eight, existed, they invited in, you know, Baylor and Texas Tech and Oklahoma and Texas, and they became the Big 12. And so the Big 8 said, hey, we're really excited to have you guys. And they're like, wait, what are you doing taking our conference? And Texas said, we're just taking this conference. They moved the conference from the headquarters from Kansas City to Dallas overnight. And Texas said, no, this is ours now. It's like Captain Phillips, you know. No, I am now the captain. You know, I mean, and that's what's happening here. And SEC fans are just realizing it. Texas isn't joining the league, guys. This league is joining Texas. Okay? That's how they view it. So they're already sick of them, and they haven't even played a game.
I think when you talk about coming into the SEC, here's the deal, though. I'd be hard-pressed to tell you any different because I lived it. I get it. Totally the mentality of we're going to join the SEC, ha, ha, ha. We're bringing more money in than anybody ever has brought into the SEC. They're joining us. I agree with you on the mentality. But the reality is you got to win in this league, John. You got to win. And they are built to win. They're going to have a very good team. Sark talked about Arch Manning and adjusting to Texas and all this stuff. And, you know, he's not worried about the Quinn Ewers hype. But I agree with you. And listen, when Nick Saban came out this week and said he thinks it's going to be Georgia and Texas in the SEC championship game in early December here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I'm hard-pressed to deny that he's wrong. I don't necessarily think he's wrong about that. But guess what? You got to prove it. And there are so many good teams. There's like six or seven teams, John, that could potentially be representing, you know, the SEC, not only in the college football playoff with 12 teams this year, but also in the SEC championship game. I think Georgia is arguably the best team in the league, but are you going to tell me Ole Miss is that far behind? Are you going to tell me LSU's not going to have a good year? Are you going to tell me that Tennessee's not on the come? I don't believe in Florida. But, you know, I start looking at the conference as a whole. I'm not leaving out Alabama purposely either. I just think there are probably six or seven teams that could easily make a case for that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's absolutely true. The top half of the SEC is going to be very tight. And this is why you can't make any mistakes, you can't have any bad days, you can't have any off days, which is why I go to the biggest concern for Georgia is going to be the schedule because – and we'll talk about it again with Drew a little bit more. We'll get into it. Their schedule is brutal. It's brutal. For them to win the national title, they're going to have to fashion some form. They have to play 10 games away from Athens. And not just any 10 games, but every game. Like the easiest game they play away from Athens is going to be like at Kentucky. That's the easy game. And then they'll play a neutral site game against Florida. Everything else is Ole Miss, at Alabama, at Texas. You know, you play Clemson, you play the SEC title game. You're going to play, I don't know, Ohio State, who the hell knows, Notre Dame, Penn State, Oregon, maybe Texas. By the way, that's the other thing to keep in mind is that everybody's starting to realize certain things that are about this 12-team playoff that I don't think that the media realized because they were asking questions. And I went, no, that's not the way it works here. And they had to be corrected. Like, for example, I'll give you one. The SEC title game, they said to Kirby, is the SEC title game still matter? And Kirby's like, well, yeah, sure, the SEC's title. Yeah, but does it really still matter you're going to be in the playoff? No, you guys don't understand. The new 12-team playoff, the four byes go to the SEC champion, the ACC champion, the Big 12 champion, and the Big 10 champion, regardless of standing. So if Georgia and Texas are 1-2 going into the SEC title game and they play a triple overtime thriller, the Georgia wins 43-42, not like Texas is still going to be a number one seed. Best they can be is number five. See what I'm saying? Even if you think they're better than the other teams.
Yeah.
Those four go to the champions.
Yeah, I think it is important. And by the way, you can't have a standard like Kirby has had to say our goal every year is to win the SEC and then all of a sudden change it because there's 12 teams in the playoff and you don't need to be one of those top four teams. The standard doesn't change regardless of, well, they'll get in the playoffs because they can lose two or three games. That's not the standard. Standard is we play for championships. We play in the SEC championship. That's our goal every year. We win our league, okay? And to your point, now if you win your league, guess what? You get a bye. So I think it has upped the ante for teams that, you know, may be considered one of the top four or five teams in the country where that's going to play itself out. But, John, I agree with you. Like, you're telling me Kirby's going to tell his kids when camp starts, oh, by the way, we don't have to win the SEC this year. There's 12 teams in the playoff. We can lose two, guys. Let's go. Oh, he's not going to say
No, he's not going to say that. Of course not. I mean, 16-0 is probably not doable.
It's extremely hard.
It's just going to be so hard that you can't make even one mistake. you know, flirted with a lot of mistakes, at least to which course last year in the SEC title game. But I'm talking about like that road game at Missouri or the road game at Kentucky a few years ago. I mean, the game at Auburn. I mean, you flirted with getting into the fourth. You can't do that when you're having to play this kind of a murderer's row schedule this year. Now, the one team that probably can go 16-0 would be Ohio State because their schedule is so soft. It's like shites. It's so soft.
Do they lose to Oregon?
It's soft.
Do they lose to Oregon?
Well, if they beat Oregon, they got nothing else.
Nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their non-conference schedule. Do you know Ohio State's non-conference schedule is Akron? Is that a win, Carl?
Of course it is.
All right, you know what? They follow it up with Western Michigan. Is that a win?
That's a tough game. Not.
Yeah, yeah. How about Marshall?
Who?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to win like the Mid-American Conference by week four. I mean, yeah, that's it. And Georgia's out there playing Clemson. Texas is going to Michigan. Alabama's going to Wisconsin.
That's right.
And they're playing Akron.
Yeah. Well, listen, they will argue that their Big Ten schedule is as hard as anybody in the in the country.
It.
And, you know, Ryan Day will argue that, you know, hey, this is what's put in front of us, and we just got to go win. I don't disagree with you. I don't think anybody's schedule is tougher than Georgia's. But that's across the league. Like, if you said it, you look at Alabama's schedule – Go look at LSU. I mean, the way these schedules finish this year with these additional games and the meaning, you know, how meaningful they are, it's just going to look different. Hey, guys, hit us up 404-726-0929 as we talk some college football, last day of SEC Media Days, and we'll let you hear some of the stuff that's coming out. Also, I want to get your thoughts on Kellen DeBoer. Yesterday I was not impressed. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good coach. Of course he is. He doesn't get the opportunity to be at Alabama. But I didn't necessarily take away what I thought I was going to get from him yesterday, John, and I want to get your thoughts on that. We'll let you hear a little bit of what he said. Also from Sam Pittman today, as we said, Hugh Freeze at Auburn, because I know a lot of Auburn fans, and they are here in the ATL. There's a huge large number of alums here in the Atlanta area. I think that Auburn and Hugh Freeze are going to be much better than people give them credit. Now, I don't think he's recruited yet. They're not there with the recruiting and the depth, but I do think he went in the portal and they did some things. And listen, we're talking about Hugh Freeze. The one thing we know, John, is he can coach offense, right? He can definitely coach offense.
That man could coach. I mean, he look what he did at Ole Miss. Look what he did at Liberty. I mean, the dude can flat coach. I obviously, this goes to, and I was telling this to Oren when we were doing the show the other night. I said, isn't it interesting? You know, who was the coach there at Auburn before? Was it Brian Harsin? Because as long as Hugh Freeze didn't bring a young thing with him from Liberty, he's going to be okay. Because they'll forget about the whole cell phone hooker thing down in Florida. That'll go, because it won't matter none, because he'll start winning. And it's only about winning, because Ryan Harsin would still be there. He wouldn't worry about the young thing that he bought from Boise if he was winning. And Hugh Freeze is going to win there. I mean, but understand something. I think everybody's going to have to wrap their brains around what's going on in college football, because it's still in flux, still fluid here. Carl, you're going to have to wrap your brain around the idea that 9-3 is not a losing season anymore. 9-3 might get you in the playoffs. 9-3 is a pretty good record. 10-2 is a really good record, because it's going to be more like the NFL. Everybody's so used to these powerhouses of going 12-0, 12-0, 11-1, 12-0. No, it's going to be more like 10-2, 10-2, 9-3, 10-2.
So what you're telling me is last year Florida State had a really good year at 13-1, Bama at 12-2, Texas at 12-2, Georgia at 13-1, who didn't get in the playoff. The Ohio State was 11-2. Oregon was 12-2. These are all really good seasons. Missouri was 11-2. That's what you're telling me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11-2 is a great year.
I agree with you. In the new landscape of college football. We're coming back. Headlines on the way this hour, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit themancavestore.com. Brett Boone's on the way, too. We'll talk some baseball as we get ready for the Braves to resume the season starting tomorrow. He'll stop by at about 2:40, but when we come back, maybe your opinion changed after last night? I'll tell you who we're talking about on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke in for Mike today. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Thursday. Braves back in action tomorrow. We're going to talk to Brett Boone coming up. Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. By the way, what do you want to see the Braves do here before the trade deadline, John? If anything, what do you want to see?
Well, I think that, I'm kind of with Andy Bunker here. I think they need to go out and get an outfielder. I know that Jazz Chisholm has been linked to the Braves, for example, and that's fine. I mean, whatever they think, whatever Alex Anthopoulos thinks here, they've got to get another corner outfielder. Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario need to be, platoon guys, off the bench guys, veteran guys. They got to go get another bat in this lineup to help jumpstart this lineup a little bit. But what I really want to see is less about, acquisitions and more about just I want Matt Olson to wake the hell up. I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean,
I know what's wrong with him.
He's the key to everything.
He's not hitting. That's what's wrong with him.
Well, there's that.
He's not hitting. Listen, I've said, this is the thing. If Alex Anthopoulos feels like these guys are going to somehow come alive in the middle of this lineup, you get Money Harris back, right? Things just start to click. You might feel like you're not inclined to make a move. And to your point, if Olson starts to be Matt Olson, can you start to be Matt Olson? Then maybe it makes you think twice about what you might want to do. Here's my question, though. As currently constructed, and even if Olson gets hot, is this a World Series team? Is it?
Well, they weren't supposed to be when they won the World Series, right? I mean, they only won 88 games this year. I mean, I guess, maybe. They did it without Acuna. They only won 88 games. I mean, I don't know. It beats the hell out of me. They're really frustrating. I'm scratching my head. I can't figure anything out. I know that the manager is saying, look, we're going to be okay. Relax. Back of the baseball card.
Well, Snit never panics.
Yeah.
The
problem
panics.
Is the back of the baseball card for 2024 says you're no good right now. That's what it says. It says last year was an outlier, Matt Olson. So I don't know. It's just, I do know this. Hey, I feel for anybody who moved here. I know I don't really feel for him because they got out of godforsaken Boston. But anybody that moved here in the last few months, today is the day because – they don't understand, Carl, the God's sauna of the South. They don't, because I'm having it up here, and you guys probably are down there too, where it rains, then the sun comes out. Then it rains again. Then the sun comes out. And it turns into a sauna.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. 404-726-0929. You can jump into that Braves conversation. We'll talk to Brett Boone coming up, Odyssey MLB Insider. Also coming up, we'll go around the NFL at 3 o'clock. Would you be surprised if I told you that Arthur Smith was wanted in another place around the NFL before he took the Pittsburgh job? News out about this. We're going to talk to you about it coming up. As we'll see him. He is now the OC for the Steelers, but we'll see him in week one as the Steelers come to town to take on the Falcons. And one wide receiver disgruntled, warning out. We'll get to all of that as part of our NFL Blitz in about 35 minutes. Big O's behind the glass. He's doing all the things today, producing as Turtle is doing the night show. And, of course, he is our engineer. Big O, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, so has your opinion changed on Bronny James? I mean, maybe you thought he wasn't any good. Last night, ironically, they play the Hawks. Richache did not play last night for no particular reason, guys. I mean, come on, rest. But Bronny played I think for the first time in these summer games, looked like he knew what he was doing. Are you sold on Bronny James at all? Do you think he's going to have a decent NBA career? Where are you at, John, on this?
He's 5 years away from having a decent NBA career. I don't think he's going to be much of an NBA player. My expectation isn't really high. I feel for the Suns kids. It's interesting. We're going to have, Brett Boone on. I mean, obviously he's a son of a star player. Because sometimes the Suns, in the case of Ken Jr. or Barry Bonds are better than the dads. And sometimes they're Patrick Ewing Jr. or they're, Michael Jordan's kids. I mean, he's just never going to live up to, I think it's so unfortunate for him in a way that he has to do this because even though I know he got paid an awful lot of money and whatnot, to be on a team with his dad, this is going to be the highlight of his career. No, I do not have. If his name wasn't Bronny James, if his name was Bronny Smith and he was on the Memphis Grizzlies, I don't think he's going to have much of an NBA career.
Lakers beat the Hawks in Summer League last night. And again, it's Summer League. 87-86, but he played, it looked like, again, 12 points, 9 in the first half, 5-11 shooting, 2 of 5 attempts from beyond the arc, where I think the game before he was 0-for-8. I'm with you on this, John. I think the pressure to live up to the expectations with the James name and his dad being, you know, arguably the greatest player in NBA history, it's impossible for Bronny to really, you know, have anything less than the expectations of him being great. And I don't know if he's going to be great. He may be a good player in the league,
but he might.
But I don't think he's going to be great.
And that's
the thing. So everybody's talking about, oh, you know, and they're going to continue to talk about it because, again, his name is James. But Rashai Shea set out the game, as did the Lakers' first-round pick, Dalton Connect. But Bronny last night, decent game. Hawks lose in summer league. And, again, you're just trying to see what guys have and what's going on and getting in some work. Meanwhile, have you watched any of the British Open today whatsoever?
Well, that was my question to you. Who's got more pressure on them moving forward over the next 4 to 5 years, Bronny James or Charlie Woods?
Charlie Woods, hands down. Individual sport. Charlie Woods. Charlie can't hide behind anybody else.
Right?
Yeah, it's Charlie.
You know, I'm a huge Tiger fan, right? And being a Tiger fan these days, watching the British Open today, is sort of like being a Saints fan. I mean, you're living in the past. Your glory days are behind you. You know, it's never going to happen again. So you have to kind of hang on to the one thing that did happen in the past, right? I mean, because it's just not going to happen anymore. I mean, Saints are never going to get back to a Super Bowl. And, you know, Tiger's never going to win a major. I mean, it's okay. But it's just painful to watch. It's like, oh, man, either... You know, sit out until you can't come back. I know he's super busy. He's got the TGL. He's actually the lead, if you didn't know this, on the negotiations between the PGA and LIV to try to get them to come together.
Well, it
he's
makes
the
sense.
Guy that's really trying to make that happen,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so he's at all these meetings all the time, putting TGL, the golf league, together. He's in the PGA LIV meetings. I mean, he's got so many things going on. You think, oh, he's not doing anything, he can just play golf. No, he's administering. That's the kind of his next life and job, and he's helping Charlie become a better player all the time. So he's got a lot going on here, and obviously he's not playing golf, and so it's really kind of hard to watch. And I don't know. I hate to say don't play, but at some point maybe you just shut it down. I don't know. It's just because it's sort of like, it's not as bad as, but you see, Carl's old enough. If you're not old enough to remember this, watching Joe Namath as a Ram, watching Willie Mays come out in the New York Mets. I mean, it was just, oh my God, dude, what are you doing to us? No, don't do that. And that's where we're at right now. So that's all. You know, I've got the sports mix, right? You have the sports mix, don't you, Carl?
What's
you know,
sports
with the,
mix?
Like,
what's
multiple
that?
Channel.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah.
a channel where you have the multiple feeds, and so it's all British Open today. And it was the feature group with Tiger, and I turned it on because I'm watching Tiger and Shoffley and whatnot, and I watched it for about half an hour, and I can't watch anymore because it's like watching some guy named Tiger Woods who plays golf like barely better than me sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Rory's struggling. Rory's at home, and he's struggling. He's 7 over. What'd he shoot today? 7? 78? To your point, top of the leaderboard, if you are interested, and I know you are, Shane Lowry, Daniel Brown, Justin Thomas is 3 under today. He shot a 68. He'll tee off around 7.
He'll choke.
He'll tee off around 7:53 tomorrow. Justin Rose sitting up there as well. Xander Schauffele, as you mentioned. But these scores are not – listen, this course is hard. I mean, this is Royal Troon. 2 under, that's a great round today. So to see Shane Lowry and Daniel Brown both be 4 under today, pretty damn good. But, again, that's through 11 and through 15 holes. Neither one of those guys are done, but a lot of guys are already in the clubhouse. To your point about Tiger Woods, not a great day for him. I think he is 6, and I want to just make sure he is. Plus 6 today. So he'll tee off tomorrow, early tomorrow morning at like 4:25. Remember, with the time change, it's like 6 hours difference. All right, that's what's going on at the British Open.
So 4:20, wait, hang on here. It says how long is it? So he should be back in Florida roughly – I don't know. 8:15 tomorrow night, maybe?
I don't know. I don't think he's making the cut.
And by the way, before any JT haters get on me here for saying JT is going to choke, JT is my second favorite player. And one of the things I really like about JT is I get him and Joe Patrick confused all the time.
Okay.
And because
Joe
Patrick
can play pretty good, man, by the way. Patrick's pretty good.
No. If you've never seen Justin Thomas and Joe Patrick side by side, I mean, it's like brother from another mother. It's like scary.
Yeah.
They look exactly alike.
It's listen, I like him a lot too. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, he's won, but I think he should have won more than what he's actually won. You know, he's been in position to win more tournaments.
Right.
Either way, that's what's going on at the British Open. Brett Boone's on the way. Also, SEC Media Days continuing. I asked you about DeBoer, and we'll dive into this because I'll play some of this later on in the show. But a lot of Alabama fans responded to me yesterday, and some of them were like, you're over-exaggerating. It's not that big of a deal. He's fine. He's recruiting fine. And I get back to that. That may be all true. Buddy, I don't think you got what you needed yesterday as an Alabama fan, which was, I own this. And we're going to be not only good, we're going to be better than what we've been, and I'm going to take this program to the next level. It's one of those things where you are.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? It means that in this new landscape of college football, we're going to be relevant in the new landscape of college football. The old BCS is gone.
You're going to win seven national titles in like 9 years? Absolutely.
That's the expectation at Alabama.
That's not next level. That's same level.
That's next level in the new landscape of what drove Nick Saban out.
Right.
Nick Saban quit because of NIL, right, and the portal. Let's be honest. This is a new world. If you're able to navigate that and you win seven in this new world, that is taking it to the next level. We've got more to get to. Brett Boone, it's a new world. Brett Boone's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Braves and much more around MLB next. Dukes and Bell, John is in for Mike today. We're going to talk to our buddy Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. I did not like the Major League Baseball All-Star Game uniforms, but I wasn't the only one. That was, you know, one of the things. But I'm a hardcore baseball guy. I'm going to watch regardless. But did the casual fan watch? And I want to know what Brett thinks about the game and what he saw. By the way, the ratings are out. MLB All-Star Game ratings up 6% after a record low in 2023. Brett Boone, thank you so much for joining us. What did you make of the All-Star festivities?
Oh, boy. You know, I find, as I'm getting older, and I'm finding that I really want to be accepting of the new game, and I'm very open-minded. I am. I mean, thinking back to my playing days where I don't want change. I want this great game is the way it is. We don't need change. I think as time goes on, there are things do have to change. You go forward, you know, in life. I was really open as a player. I wouldn't even think about putting those uniforms on. I'd be pissed. I don't like them. I like the home white and the road gray. And anytime we had an alternate jersey, I'd be like, oh, you know, Jamie Moyer used to use our alternative jersey just to, I think, piss me off. I didn't like it, but I have to admit, as I watch and the City Connect jerseys, I kind of think, you know, they're kind of funky. They're kind of cool. I never thought in a million years I'd accept black pants. But I think the day we're playing, the personalities of the current player, I think they fit. Now, go to the All-Star game, those jerseys. I felt like I was watching a 1982 Miller Lite commercial and Rodney Dangerfield was going to come out from left field. Thought they looked like softball unis, terrible. Now I've gone back a little bit and I say, go back to the team jerseys. And if they want to have the cool, you know, progressive type jersey that they're wearing these days, fine. But I like them to go back to their team jersey on top of the All-Star uniform.
I don't know about that, Brett, because, you know, you never know. That third baseman, he could get confused wearing, you know, different jersey than the first baseman. He might throw it to the wrong guy. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, it's not like football. I mean, right?
Yeah, the old school in me has got to come back and say, no, let's just go back to the jersey. Let's not try to jump the shark in every aspect of the game. We're already doing the red carpet events. We never did those. But I understand it's entertainment, a little Hollywood aspect. The home run derby is more exciting. There's more homers, but let's not change everything. Let's keep some things have to remain simple. And I understand today's climate, what the fans like today. I get that. That's the reason we do these things, but let's not do all at once. There's just kind of almost like there's too much going on. Like we have to do everything over the top. Sometimes less is better.
Brett, does this kid Paul Skeens remind you of anybody that you played against or that you saw coming up? I mean, he is electric, right? Does he remind you of anybody?
He reminds me, and I'll give you two generations worth. He reminds me in my day of when Kerry Wood came on the scene, or a Mark Pryor, where they were just different than your average rookie pitcher coming to the big leagues. I remember I was sitting in Montreal watching that big 20 strikeout game he had against the Houston Astros. I remember watching the feed after our game, getting ready to get on a plane, and they were playing it. And I said, how can you keep swinging at pitches 2 feet off the plate? What is going on with Bell and Biggio and Bagwell? They don't swing like this. Well, we had Kerry Wood, his next start, and I found out real quick how electric his stuff was. So a Kerry Wood, a Mark Pryor, I think in more modern day, I think a Steven Strasburg, when he came on the scene, I remember going to a game in San Diego when Strasburg was just a kid. And I had seats in the GM booth, which is right along the third baseline. And so I had that angle between the pitcher and the catcher. And I remember that's the first time as a retired player I was glad I was retired, thinking I don't have to grab a bat and face that today. So I think that's the two comparisons I see. Just a ton of talent, three plus pitches. Obviously, the velocity's there. And the only thing I wish they would have done, and especially for the Pittsburgh Pirate fans in the organization, I wish he would have been there from the jump. He's obviously proven that he didn't need to go to AAA and prove it for a month and a half. I wish he'd have been there from the get-go. The Pirates right now might be a win or two better, which would actually, as we sit here today, put him in the wild card race. But never too late, I guess. They got a second half with him. Only thing with him, and I worry about all these young pitchers coming up today because of the way they're handled from the minor leagues to the big leagues with the coddling and then the pedal to the metal is injuries. Just like you're kind of worried about everybody in baseball now with the injuries because they're so plentiful.
Talking to Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone, he was mentioning jerseys. Brett, I don't want to talk to you about any of the seven or eight you wore in Major League, whatever it was. I want to talk to you about one. One, I'm going to make you feel old. 25 years ago when you were here, all right? 25 years ago. Yeah. So you go back 25 years to that World Series team. We want to talk about that World Series. And you kind of fast forward here. You know, we're spoiled a little bit as fans, but it's almost two things. One, does it strike you as being odd considering how dominant this franchise has been, the Braves, for so long that they only have two titles? And what is it going to take for them to win another?
Well, I think you go back to the 90s Braves, yeah, and I think we look back and with that trio of Maddox, Smoltz, Glavine being the constant, I think everybody, not only their team, you know, I was a part of one of them in the 99, as you mentioned, but that whole generation, they were so dominant. It was the Braves every year, and the Braves are probably going to the World Series every year. You can't really say that about any team in today's modern game. So, yes, I'm very surprised about the one World Series, and I think if you ask the core group that were in the 90s with the Braves, they'll say the same thing. Fast forward to today's Braves. I think they're the similar kind of, hey, they've been in charge of that division for a long time now. Phillies this year really are a good team. Braves sitting in second place. I just think it's different now. And I think it really puts into perspective how hard it is to be a World Series champion. It's not about being the greatest team, especially in today's climate, the 12 teams, a lot more series you have to go through in the postseason. And I think because of the way the playoffs are set up, and it's a three-game series and a five-game and a five-game and a seven, I don't always think you get the best teams. I mean, if you truly wanted to get the best team and crown the best team a World Series champion, what you'd do is you'd have seven-game series because it would show the depth that you have. Nowadays in the postseason, very rarely do you see a fourth starter. It's always one and two and maybe a three. So the teams that have a dominant one and two starter can get through a couple rounds of the playoffs with not necessarily being an elite team, just having two elite starters. So I think the climate's different. I think the entertainment value's up because so many cities are in it for so much longer. But once you get to that tournament, the postseason tournament, I think it's tougher than it's ever been to be a World Series champion. I think the Braves, what they're doing is remarkable, but I think if you talk to the Dodgers, you know, they've been a dominant franchise and dominant in the National League for years now, and they've got one, and it was that COVID-shortened season. So I just think winning a World Series is so much harder than people think. But the Braves are going to be right in the mix this year and have a chance. They pitch their butts off, and they play defense better than anybody, and they lead in those perspective categories. So it's this Brave team. They're just a bunch of pros. That's a pro team. They know how to do it. From Snitger down, they've got a tremendous staff. And I expect the Braves to make some noise and put themselves in a position where at least it gives them a chance. Like I said, I think the toughest time in history to actually get through the postseason and win a World Series, but they're definitely one of the teams I got on my short list.
Insider calls brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions. We're talking with Brett Boone here. MLB Odyssey Insider, Braves second half of the season, 60-some-odd games left, starts tomorrow. I want to ask you about the mind of a hitter because I am perplexed at what's going on with Austin Riley. He's got 12 home runs, 12. Matt Olson, 13. How do you approach the second half, Brett, with knowing you have not performed as well as you want to in the first half? Do you change anything? I mean, guys always talk about not panicking, but the numbers, the power numbers have not been there.
No, the power numbers are way down, and you've got Ozuna picking up the slack. You know, his numbers right now are closer to what Olson's were expecting Olson's to be, especially a guy like Olson who's a, you know, every year is a potential 50 home run guy. I can just, you know, I looked at Acuna before he got injured, and he was off to a real slow start. Numbers weren't even close to what they were a year ago when he won the MVP. It's just, I chalk it up sometimes. I look at a Julio Rodriguez in Seattle, who's really been scuffling, and that Seattle offense is at the bottom of all the categories. Sometimes it's just the game, and there's no rhyme or reason. For Ole, he's sitting here right now at 230. He's got 13 homers. Well, for an average player in today's game, you'd think, wow, I'm on pace for 20-plus home runs. I'm doing really good. But when you're a guy like Matt Olson, I'm sure he's looking at those numbers. He's not happy at all with them. My experience, it's year to year. You know, you never know. It just clicks when it clicks. I think for the great players, you're going to have great years. You're going to have your normal years, and you're going to have, you know, years where you don't live up to the expectations. But usually you're in that little box of it's one of the three. And I think at the end of this season, Matt Olson, at some point, it's going to click. You know, there's 2.5 months to go in the regular season. It's going to click, and he's going to go on a roll at some point. And at the end of the year, he's probably going to be sitting at over 30 home runs, have a big second half. And his numbers are going to kind of fall into where they normally fall in. There's nothing you can really do. It's not like we take this break. Sometimes the All-Star break's a good time to just catch your breath, recharge the batteries, and get after it the second half. But he's had great years. This guy's a veteran player now. He knows what it's like to hit 50 home runs. It's not like he's trying not to doing anything different. But I think it's just baseball, and it's so hard, and it's a constant adjustment. At some point, I think he's going to get on a heater and be the Matt Olson that we're used to. But you're right. Right now, I look up and down that lineup. A lot of guys are playing under what people expect them to play.
You know, I'm not necessarily a conspiracy guy, but Brett Boone, I got to ask you. I mean, everybody's down. There's something different with the baseball this year, right? I mean, stitches or something? I mean,
you know, it's right? Funny because a few years ago they were talking about the lively ball, and it was across the board. And remember, it was the first year that they used the same ball in AAA that the big league guys were using, and the home runs were up by like 1,000 in AAA. Yes, I think that's not a conspiracy. In my years, you could notice, and it was subtle, but you could notice year to year how the ball was. Sometimes guys in spring training, it was funny, at the end of spring we'd go, it's one of those years where the ball's down. So it's not going to go, and it's probably 4 or 5 feet. But over the course of 162 games and how many balls you get in the air, 5 and 6 feet becomes a lot. So I definitely think there could be something to it. I'm not out there physically hitting the balls. The only guys that truly know are the guys throwing the balls from the mound and the guys in that batter's box that are hitting them. They know for sure if the ball is wound a little tighter or a little looser. I think it's far from being a conspiracy theorist. I think it's behind scenes that are made by the powers that be. And if they want a little more pitching or they want a little more offense, they tweak that ball just a little bit to get that little difference. But I think you're far from a conspiracy theorist.
Great stuff as always. Brett Boone, we appreciate you stopping by. Again, Insider Calls presented by Grainger. Odyssey MLB Insider. Hey, we'll look forward to our conversation next week as the second half gets underway, and we'll see where this thing goes. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. Looking forward. I'll be out there in, I'll be out there in August.
Awesome.
For that Atlanta alumni. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Good to talk with you. We'll talk to you soon, Brett. Brett Boone, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke in for Mike today. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. Coming up, one of the all-time greats says, just trade him. That's the answer. Find out what we're talking about coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.